you know, then we're going to burn up another month. It's just how we're going to do it. And but anyway, I'm David Frankhuer. I am your host, one of your hosts today, the guy that's running the board anyway. And our two co-hosts, Ann Limhoko, can't be with us today. She has some business to do, and so we pray God will bless her in the doing of that business.
Amen.
We do have the other co-host.
Uh-oh. The other.
Ed Skiba.
Good morning, brother. Thank you. I missed you playing the drums this morning.
Well, that's what happened.
It just cut right past it.
It cut right past it.
Wow.
So
must be jealous of your talent.
Well, this is the way it goes. We're still learning with this software.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
I
do miss our lovely adopted daughter, Anne.
Yes, yes.
She's so much younger than both of us that she could be either one of our daughters.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of that.
Yeah.
But we can adopt Dorothy as well.
Well, here, we can do that
our guest today,
of course.
If she's adoptable, but I don't know. In the spirit, you know, in the body of Christ, we've all been adopted. So isn't that cool?
Amen.
Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Well, let me then introduce our guest for today, Dorothy Kraft. And you're going to be talking about you being you. This is her ministry. It's a tremendous ministry. We're going to be unpacking. Dorothy was on the air with us back June the 9th, I think. If I remember correctly.
I believe it was.
Not that that's happening on a regular basis, but I think it was June the 9th, and shared a lot about what she's doing. It's powerful stuff. That's why I brought her back, asked her to come back, because the issue of identity is critical to us. It is so, we don't often realize that, except that a lot of our struggles, spiritually and emotionally, have to do with struggles with identity, not really knowing who we are.
Amen.
And whom God made us to be, and then therefore kind of staggering through life. And Dorothy and her ministry, and I was hearing from my knowledge, I don't know of anybody else doing what you're doing right now. There may be others certainly, and probably are, but here in this area, what you're doing is unique, and it's ultra critical. It's exceedingly blessed and helpful in terms of that core matter of identity that we really need to get right, or as right as we can. So with that, Dorothy, welcome. Good to have you back.
Well, thank you for having me.
And
it's good to be back, and I get to meet Ed this time. You
weren't
here
right.
last time.
Good to meet you as well.
When the last time you were here, Ed was, let's see, you were out. You were still struggling as you recovered from all of your near ending, mortality ending.
I was laying
events.
On the beach in the Cayman Islands.
Right, After having checked on some of your major accounts, so I know all about that, Ed. But anyway, so I'll just get us started sharing, Dorothy, what do you do? Why is it so necessary?
Yeah, thank you. I would just want to, if you haven't heard me before, which I'm not going to assume you did, I'll just relate how this impacted me personally. Grew up in a broken home, so I had my mom, but I did not have my biological father around. And so we know that a lot of who we are comes from our parents or our grandparents. And because half of my DNA was missing in that regards, I had a lot of questions. I didn't always identify with my mom. Mm-hmm. Most kids would be horrified to find out if they were adopted. Me, I would go into my mother and demand that she tell me that I was adopted because I knew they didn't understand me and I didn't understand them. So I think very early on, kids are very intuitive. And I think I was intuitive into the sense of I knew that there was a lot of differences between my mom and I. Mm-hmm. And she's a great mom. She did the best that she could. And I think she was just trying to make sure that I wasn't getting harmed because I am a cliff jumper. I was just telling Ed that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't even want to go near the cliff. So she was always trying to rescue me from or tell me not to go near it. And whereas I was born to fly, so I needed to go. I needed to jump off the cliff. And again, no right or wrong. It's just different. We know that about temperaments. We know that about the way that God hardwired us. And I would say that it wasn't until I was in my early adulthood, I would say somewhere late 20s, that I started to understand that it was okay to be me, which is really crazy because at that point I was already married and had kids. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that it was okay to be me. Mm-hmm. So how can I affirm anybody in my life if I didn't even know I could be affirmed? So I think that identity is really important, because we talk about it in terms of, let's bring it back to our Christian walk. Mm-hmm. And if we are in Christ, because we talk about that a lot, we get a lot of who we are, how we move, mm-hmm. how we just our being is in Christ. But if we don't know who God is, and we don't know how God designed us or made us special for the plans and the purposes that he has for us, how can we, you know, be go through that fulfillment process? So going back to what you're saying, you think it's very important. I think it is crucial, because if you don't know who you are, then you can be swayed to be anything. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in our youth today, you know, especially like with the transgender stuff. It's almost kind of the thing to be a boy today, a girl tomorrow, all of that. So I think it's what we're seeing is the more that we break that down, and as the family unit has been broken down and affirmation of who you are has been broken down, now we're seeing it in society. It's become very relevant, or, you know, it's been uncovered or disclosed because we see what our kids are struggling with. So I think it goes right back down to the core of who we are. If you, from the time that you're birthed, affirmed and acknowledged for who you are, then you can grow. Because I feel like the family unit is where you can fall down, scrape your knees, make mistakes, and it's safe because mom and dad are there to help you get through that. And so then when you become into your adulthood, now you're firing on all cylinders, meaning you know what you're interested in. You can curtail your education around those things as well, the plans and purposes that God has for you. And not everybody has to go to school for that. I mean, some people want to stay, you know, in the trades, or you don't need an education to go into ministry, because, you know, I have a whole philosophy on that. I won't even go down that rabbit trail.
I understand, but it'll be an interesting course of discussion at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ed and I both went formally to a seminary environment before we were ordained. But yet I agree that there are people who God is calling into ministry, and not every ministry has to be ordained officially through adjudicatory, because baptism is our ordination into ministry.
True.
That is the beginning for everybody. Yeah. Some people don't get that, but it is.
I think in defense of our education in seminary, I don't mean that we need to defend it. I think what it teaches you is discipline. And that's the big thing. It's not so much the core subjects that you concentrate on. It's the discipline of learning that you understand. That's what it's about.
That's a big part of it,
but
sure.
But the Holy Spirit is the one that really educates us.
Yeah.
The seminary is just, a training ground, more or less, or a strengthening of our disciplinary
expression of ministry.
I look at it as three things. If you have Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God, and you purposely spend time to have an encounter with God, you hit all three. You got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you have all three of those, you can go anywhere, do anything. You're good.
Yeah, amen. And you were speaking earlier of the... you're really talking about the spiritual dimension of identity. And also then Ed brought up the issue of, you know, today, not just in America, it's in the West primarily, where, you know, somebody today, they're a male, tomorrow they're a female, because, and it's an identity issue. And, excuse me, I'm not getting choked up. It's,
Just getting choked,
yeah. Yeah, it's allergy stuff, but.
I was going to say, I don't know the Heimlich, so.
That's okay. I'll just fall into the back of my chair. You know, I've done it all the time. But I think I could say with a great deal of accuracy about at least American culture is that the majority of, a lot of people in America, they're not churched. They don't have spiritual discipline. It's all secular. And so they have secular religion, you know, but... there's no God in it. There's no Jesus in it. And there's no urging then to go to God and say, who am I? And but that's a great need because God made us.
Yeah.
And for every human being, whether you realize it or not, whether you're a God person or not, God has a plan for your life. He has a particular identity that he wants you to know about. But it's not going to come about unless you are open to that and you turn to God. And then you have someone like Dorothy who can walk into your life with a great heart, mm-hmm. Tremendous giftings in the spirit, and a tremendous tool to help you find out who God made mm-hmm. you to be.
So if I can elaborate a little bit on that, the vision for how I see it is, if you know who you are, and you know, we know that the two greatest commandments that Jesus gives us is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, your soul, and then the next one is love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you bring that down to, because I know a lot of times people think, if I'm going to dive into my identity, that looks kind of selfish, and that's not the heart of what I do or how mm-hmm. I even feel. I feel like it is, or know it to be true, is if you know who you are, then that's where you become a great advantage and a tool to be used by the Master in the kingdom of God. Because the more effective you are, the more understanding that you have about yourself and others, then mm-hmm. then we go back to the two commandments is, okay, I'm going to love the Lord my God with everything that I have within me, and I'm going to love people the same way. Mm-hmm. But if I don't love myself, if I don't understand myself, mm-hmm. how can I love others? Because the nature of man, relationships are complicated. People are messy. Life is messy.
Oh, amen.
So again, if I don't want to be triggered and I want to be effective in how I can minister to that person or love that person, then I don't want to be clouded with my thoughts, who I am, what my desires are, what my issues are. I want those to go away. So I want to get healing from any hurts, wounds, or anything that I've carried that either somebody did to me or I allowed to come into my life. And I also want to understand how people operate, not from a manipulation standpoint, but from a genuine caring. I want to be able to see that person for who they are, but not through my filter, not through the filter of, I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to perform or be who I need you to be to fulfill something that I have going on in me.
I want you mm-hmm. to be who I expect you to be.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So expectations, oh my gosh, that's another whole rabbit trail we could go down to if you didn't have expectations. But again, a lot of it has to do with, I have needs. Sometimes mm-hmm. that can come from hurts, wounds, or just things that just aren't, you know, a cup that's not being filled.
Yeah.
And so we'll go and do that, sometimes in a negative way, sometimes not in a positive mm-hmm. way. But again, the more awareness and maturity that you get about yourself, the more that you can bring that to every single relationship that you can have, whether that's professional, personal, at the church, wherever you're at. The more maturity that I'm walking in and connected with Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
then the more effective I am in the kingdom of God. But we got to do the work.
Amen. And that brings me to ask you, because I know we have many listeners that are tuning in right now, and some of them are probably saying, well, how do I know that I'm living out my life not with an authentic identity? What are some of the symptoms of living your life with whom you think you are, but you're not living God's identity, what he planned? What are people experiencing to some degree?
Do you have about 3 hours for the list?
Yeah.
I think that the short answer is, are you dealing with depression, anxiety? Mm-hmm. Are you having conflict within your relationships? And I'm not talking just like one individual one. I'm talking about across the board. Do you always find it hard to understand people? Do you always feel disconnected? Are you depressed? All of those things are red flags
mm-hmm.
that there's something else going on.
Yeah. And that should lead you to, well, at least to pray, ask God for, if you are a God person. Some people aren't.
Yeah.
I know we have some people listening today that are not born again. They're not churched. And I'm glad you're listening. I'm not criticizing you or judging you. But that's not your first move, is to go to God when you find you're in the midst of these struggles. But isn't that's really the way to go, is to, who made you? I didn't make me.
Yeah.
Well, let me share a couple of scriptures with you.
Yeah.
These are some of my favorites when it comes to talking about this subject. So Psalm 139, 13, you created me in my, you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. Mm. You are not a mistake.
Right.
You are not a mistake. You, someone intentionally, meaning God, that's someone, he intentionally thought of you and created you the way that he wanted you to be.
Amen.
And unfortunately, the enemy tries to come in and steal that. Another favorite one of mine is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So not only were you thought of and loved and designed by the Creator, but he has things that he wants you to do. He's such a great God in that he wants us to partner with him while we're down here on earth for the things that he has, you know, a plan that he has, that he wants to do. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will. He's got a plan. Mm-hmm. He's got this overarching, huge plan, and then he has an individual plan. And whenever we're not living out that plan or purpose, because we also know in Jeremiah 29:11 says, for God knows that I have the plans for you, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So he's got this plan for you. And if you think about it this way, God loves you so much that he has something specific that only you can fulfill. So if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Now, that doesn't mean that his whole plan of creation and redemption and everything that he's got on the board is not going to happen. It's just saying he's inviting us to be a part of that. And if for some reason, you know, you got broken along the way, or you got confused or distracted or damaged, that's okay. God is big enough to overcome all of that. You, like you said, you just have to come to him. Why would we, as a non-believer, want to come to God? Well, it has to do with sometimes our perception or our awareness or understanding of who God is. God is a loving God. He is a merciful God. He is a just God. He is a God that heals. But we also forget about the just part. You know, my pastor always explains this so beautifully from the pulpit, that how we talk about salvation, how we come to Christ, it is not that we have to be perfect to come to him. It's just that he is going to forgive us in that moment. And then if you allow him to, through that consecration process, I know that's a big churchy word, but all that means is transformation. There's a way to be transformed. If you don't like where you are today, if you don't like what's going on in your life, there is a way for there to be a transformation so that you can get to where God has you to be. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of renewing your mind. That's reading the Word of God. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to come in. That's allowing yourself to have an encounter with this amazing God that created you. Mm-hmm. And you weren't an afterthought. You weren't a mistake. You were never not wanted. No matter what your birth happened at your birth, there was never a moment, there was never a time where God did not want you and want you to be a part of his plan.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, I will speak for myself, but that after I met the Lord, for a good season of my life, my attitude was basically this, and I'm reflecting back on it. I didn't think of it then, but now it says, well, you know, I'm going to stagger around as best I can with considering who I am, and I'll just wait for perfect eternity. For the promise of heaven, right? When I can get it all together. But being a citizen of God's kingdom now, because if you received Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, immediately you became a citizen of his kingdom.
Right.
With all the benefits, rights and benefits appurtenant thereunto, which is all laid out in Scripture. But I think the overarching umbrella for that is the transformational process that enables us to celebrate who we are now.
Right.
As God restores our true identity to us in his relationship with him, rather than us just say, I'm going to endure this life and my own brokenness until I die. No, God has a better plan for you.
Yeah, I think the desire, I think if anybody who's listening or anybody that we talk to about this, if there's something innately within you that says there's got to be more, mm-hmm. that's because there is.
Yeah.
And I think folks that know their identity and know their purpose, they are living their best life. So that's why, to me, identity is so crucial, so that you understand who you are in Christ, you understand God, you understand yourself, and you understand your purpose. There's nobody that can convince you that there's anything better in the world when you're firing and all of that.
And I'm just going to blanket say, for most people, most of the time, we think we know who we are, and we really don't. We don't have that clue.
We settle.
We settle for less, and we don't need to.
No.
There's a radio host on a different station, secular station, that says something all the time that I resonate with. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it.
So true. Well, nobody else can do you better than you.
Amen.
You
well, let's take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back to the front line on this wonderful, beautiful, not yet raining Monday, the 18th of August of the year 2025. We're delighted to be here with Dorothy Kraft, You Being You, and we're talking about true identity in Christ and how God's given her the tools and the heart to help people find that. And speaking of which, well, during the break we said, "What is there one story you could tell of someone that has you've helped to achieve that?"
Yeah, I do. I have several examples. One of the things that I was thinking too that I'd like to talk about is, if anybody's listening, you know, some of those, like those markers that you were talking about, like things that maybe they're having some difficulty in a relationship. They're having a difficulty just figuring things out. And so hopefully I can weave that into some of the examples that I'll give. There was a husband and wife who worked together. Husband was an introvert. Wife was an extreme extrovert. Mm. They were literally polar opposites on the complete end of the spectrum. And I remember, you know, taking them through the profiles and explaining each one to the other person. And it's funny because most people think that I'm a fly on the wall. I know I sat down with Dave last week he's like, "Yep, that sounds like me. Yep, that sounds like me." He's like, "How do you know all this?" I'm like, "Well, you kind of told on yourself a little bit," but there's only, you know, again, it's the nature of man. It's our human nature. And it becomes understandable once you study it. So going back to that husband and wife, one introvert, one extrovert, you know, a lot of times when he was really quiet, you know, she needed a lot more coming from him. Understandable. And he was just wanting to be accepted and appreciated for who he was, mm-hmm. which is just not very verbal. And when we sat down and we put it all in black and white, and we started to talk about needs, desires, how people demonstrate, and what all goes into that behavior, because we can only judge people on the outs, on the outward, what mm-hmm. their behaviors mm-hmm. are, right?
Right.
There's a whole bunch going on underneath, except for when you're with an extreme extrovert. They just mm-hmm. let it all hang out. You know exactly what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they don't, you do. No, but so this was a situation where you have we had extremes on each side of the spectrum. And once we started to understand that, it was like the light bulb went off in the wife, and she looked at her husband, and we explained to her basically, like, when he's showing you that one, if we were on a scale of, say, 0 to 9, it's kind of one of the scales that we use. If he's operating or behavior is a 1 and you're desiring an 8, meaning what you're mm-hmm. wanting back, what mm-hmm. you're wanting to see, you have to, we explained to her that if she understood that when he's showing his 1, he's all in. That's him showing his all mm-hmm. in, because mm-hmm. he won't even give that to somebody else. Mm. And so they started to understand. And so, you know, the goal is that expectation word. Lower your expectations of what it is that you want or what you need. And somebody else can say, well, I understand your expectation a little bit more now that you've verbalized it. And I think I can move more yeah. towards what you need. And so it's about communication. It's that communicating and knowing that you're being seen, knowing that you're being understood, knowing that you're being accepted. You're not going to be rejected right. because you just have a different way of doing things. And it was the most beautiful thing, because you saw her start to cry. You saw him tear up, because again, he's not used to showing emotion. She's used to letting it all hang out. And she looked at him and she goes, so when you bring me flowers, that means you're all in. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've been trying to tell you that, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had that situation with my wife. She said, you never tell me you love me. I said, I told you 59 years ago, if anything changes, I'll let you know.
Exactly. But that really doesn't work.
No.
It's a nice thought, but it doesn't really work. And that's part of, again, why we have these conversations, or why we reveal. Because mm-hmm. the most vulnerable thing that we can do is reveal our innermost parts mm-hmm. to somebody. Hopefully you can do that with your spouse. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it is that this is an accelerated process. Like, if you're in a marriage, you've been married to your beautiful bride for 59 years. Mm-hmm. Probably took you 20 some years to figure out who's what, who's showing what.
We're still working on that.
Well, I think that's great that you still are. That's awesome. You should still, you should always be working on your relationships. But, you know, it takes us a while. Yeah. So bringing it into, say, a marriage relationship, or, you know, bringing it back to the kingdom of God and ministry, is we are in an accelerated. I think we're all in agreement that Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And there are things for us to do.
Amen.
And we can't be caught up in all this distractions or wounds or hurts or misunderstandings mm-hmm. or unfulfilled expectations, because unfulfilled expectations, they lead to anger, resentment. Mm-hmm. We know resentment goes into bitterness. And when you have a bitter heart or a root of bitterness, you're ineffective. Mm-hmm. You're going to be triggered, and you can be manipulated by the enemy in that. So again, if you're talking about relationships, again, examples, putting this on the table and letting somebody see you for who you really are, and then being affirmed and acknowledged and supported. To me, we all want to be unconditionally loved. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to feel that rejection. We want to be accepted. And so again, if you have people in your life that understand you, or you understand you, you're not having to defend that. Right. You're not having to sit there and say, well, this is what I do, or this is how I feel about this, and then want somebody to affirm it, because God has already affirmed it. Mm-hmm. You have somebody else in your life. When we go through this, you know, I am also a life coach that affirms that in you. So I'm going to mm-hmm. affirm that in you, and God's going to affirm that in you. And now you're not as distracted or hung up on that need as much. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does. But it seems to me that a lot of people, a lot of the time, their experience of love is very conditional in that from the ones that love them, they get, well, I'll love you only under these circumstances.
If, yeah, I'll love you if.
I'll love you if instead.
But that's true, and that's very normal. And again, not to keep beating the horse, but that's what I'm here today to talk about is when you know who you are and know who's in your life, that expectation, the unrealized expectations start to go down because now you're communicating and you're actually able to focus on those specific things that are absolutely needs that you have. Just like you have the air that you breathe or the food that you have to eat in order to survive, there are certain things that the way that God hardwired us that we absolutely need. And so if the people in our life know that about us, they can affirm that or they can say those things to us or they can say, you know what, Dorothy's a little off today. I wonder what's going on, you know? And then you can have that conversation. You can help them figure that out. I do that all the time with my close personal friends who have gone through this profile. We'll be talking and maybe they'll tell me a story or they'll be talking about an interaction that you're having with a family member. And I'll say, well, that's normal. And they'll say, well, why is that normal? And I'm like, because you needed to be invited into that situation. Mm. You know, I kind of liken it to a water cooler instance. There are certain people that when they congregate around the water cooler, they're just going to be chatty Cathys. They're just going to be and they're just going to be talking away. And other people will feel comfortable coming into that conversation. And then others will stand on the outside feeling like they have to be invited into that conversation. So when I'm talking to my friends and I see certain things and I know things about them, meaning their identity and their ways of wanting to be demonstrated to or desired behaviors back to them, I'll say, oh, well, that was easy. That's because so-and-so didn't invite you into that conversation or they didn't invite you to that particular occasion or whatever. And what happened was is you got your feelings hurt. So that's understandable. Your feelings got hurt because you weren't invited.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do about that? It's a real need to be invited. So maybe just next time tell that person, hey, don't just assume that I just because you talked about it, that in that it was just implied that it was an invitation. I really need you to make it clear to me that I'm invited.
Right.
Again, loss, not as much conflict, less stress. People know who you are. And it's that interaction.
Yeah. I've run into that problem with my wife all the time. She doesn't do subtle. If I try to do something subtly, it's lost. I have to say directly to her, hey, we're going to go and do so-and-so.
Understood.
Would you like to go and do this?
Right.
Because if I don't, she just thinks, well, you're just going to go do that and leave me alone.
Yeah.
No, you're invited.
It's that communication piece, right? There's what I said, what you heard what I said, and what I think you heard me say, right? I think those are the three.
I know you think you heard what I said, but I'm not sure you understood what I meant.
Yeah. So again, if you have people in your life that need a little bit more communication or need a little bit more, then you can offer that.
Right.
And there's no harm, no foul in any of that. It's just meeting each other's needs at that point, which is a beautiful thing. Because we know that the enemy loves to come in where there's misunderstanding.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he can bring division. Yeah. If he can bring division, he won.
That's right. Exactly.
So the more, again, it goes back to if I understand me, what my preferences are, what I like, then my character, my godly character, has to come on top of that and say, you know what, I'm going to give that person the benefit of the doubt. I know that this is a sensitive area for me. This is something that really means a lot to me. So I'm going to step outside of my comfort zone with the character that I know that I'm supposed to or maturity that I'm supposed to. I'm going to go to that person and just have the conversation. Is that what you really meant?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I meant at all. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And conflict, you know, subverted, and there's understanding. And we all know that the more conflict that we go through with an individual, the closer you are when you get to the other side of it with the resolution. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
So again, you know, you have your hardwiring temperament. Hey, this is how I like things to be done. And when we understand that, then we know if it's not godly character or how God would want us to handle that particular situation or that particular circumstance, we can make a different decision based upon our awareness and our maturity to help that relationship work itself out.
Yeah.
I hope I'm explaining that well.
You are very well. And it leads me to pose this question to you, which we talked about the power that this kind of transformation brings. And by power, I mean I'm getting changed. I'm being transformed into the person God intended for me to be. And I'm therefore presenting that person to the world instead of that broken image that I had carried around for so long, who I thought I was. And all of that doesn't happen overnight, but it does begin to occur, and the grace of God flows. And I'm mentioning this because I suspect there are listeners right now that have suddenly begun to realize that they have this need within them. God
legitimate.
Has been speaking, legitimate need
mm-hmm.
To begin a process of discovering who they really are,
yeah.
who God really made them to be. And they're also realizing the struggles they're having with so many people because they haven't begun to know that. And they're really overwhelmed by all the struggles in relationships. And so I guess I want to ask you, because I really do have a sense, especially after we met, and I'd taken the WIDP, and then you interpreted it, and as you started talking, I'm an old guy, not as old as Ed, but I'm getting there. But as long as I've lived on planet Earth, and as long as I've walked with the Lord for almost 50 years, I learned stuff that day with you that I have about myself that I'd never known, okay? And in the revelation of that, I have so much more peace, and also the assurance that knowing this and incorporating this and involving prayer and the Lord, help me with all the, but that my relationships with other people are going to change for the better.
So can you give us an example hopefully it's not too personal, but can you give us an example? Because I think that would be very effective.
Well, I've always known, or I have for the longest time known, that I was an introvert.
For sure.
And that over the years, I've just gotten more bitter at that. I'm serious on that scale of introversion. They need to make a new scale for me, probably. But at the same time, because as a pastor, you're very extroverted in your behavior. And I began to see through the course of the evaluation, my whole life began to flash in front of my eyes. All of my pastoral relations with people based on me being an introvert and them being an extrovert, and some of the miscommunication that occurred.
Interesting.
That I had to repent of.
Wow.
And so now, even though my pastoral work is very limited into a home church, and I'm doing mostly this ministry, but it really was revelatory for me, because now that I kind of know, okay, what are the needs mm-hmm. I really have, who I really am, and those needs apply. And at the same time, then opening up to dialogues that help me understand where other people are,
right,
and initiate, especially with new people, because I meet new people all the time here at the radio station. And if we get to know each other for a while, our personalities are going to maybe start finding those abrasive points, and to already know how to open up a conversation with them based on who I know I am, and kind of find out who they think they are.
You're harnessing the strength of who you are.
Right.
And with that awareness, you're going to put that layer of character or maturity on top of it and say, okay, in this moment, in this quote task, if you want to look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
As I'm interacting with this person, I'm going to know how I need to be in that moment.
Exactly.
But
there's, right.
But instead of sitting there saying, well, I'm uncomfortable, or I don't want to do it this way, or I wish I was some other way, you're saying, no, I'm comfortable being me.
Right.
In this moment, I'm just going to step outside of my comfort to minister to this person or to connect with this person.
Right. Yeah.
In the way that they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just going to revert back to what you need to be.
Exactly.
It's
right.
Like you go out in that moment and then you're able to come back in and deal with what you need to be.
Exactly. And it gives me comfort in that I can communicate that to them. And even to the point of saying, you know, if the interaction is becoming painful for me, you know, to even stipulate some boundaries in that I'm not going to go there.
That's beautiful.
Where it's painful. I'm going to tell them why. Even they don't like it, they have to like it.
No.
But I think it's freeing. And that's one aspect of a multifaceted personality that God made, you know, that I'm kind of rediscovering in some ways.
Yeah, we also just discovered that you're very creative.
Yeah.
Very creative. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I am. And
you didn't give yourself enough credit for that.
No.
But certain temperaments, they want to be perfectionistic. And even in that, we talked a little bit how even in that creativity, you wanted to be so perfectionistic that it was almost like you couldn't be creative because that perfectionism was kind of outweighing the need to be creative or what. So again, the enemy will use, you know, our greatest strength can also be our greatest weakness. But again, after we talked about that, if you want to talk about it from a coaching perspective, as we uncovered that, was we realized just let it flow. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be beautiful, but you got to let it flow in order for God to be able to direct that flow.
And that's a revelation that really has helped me already. I want you to know.
I'm so glad.
So you're never too old to learn new stuff.
But an old dog can learn new tricks. Is that what you're saying?
An old dog can look. You may only have three legs, but you can learn how to use them. Anyway, let's go to a break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls and hears me.
Let's all sing, I have a Father.
I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never
And we are back.
Glad to see you're back on the
and
drums.
Why? Okay. Now we have a piece of music playing, so the everything shifts to the end of the program, so we don't have a close. Anyway, okay, there we go. All right. Again, it's the computer software. We need to have lay hands on this. We can't use holy oil.
You know what they say, though?
What's that?
They say technology is usually it's user error.
Mm,
right. Okay, well, yeah, okay. I did something.
When computers,
I'm just
teasing. When computers first came out.
No matter how much we want to say that's not true, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to use my iPad, my iPhone, or whatever, and it's like, no, it's just a user error.
When computers first came out back in the 70s, 60s, they had an expression we used, GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out.
That's right.
So true.
Well, what we're dealing with is not garbage right now. Mm-mm. It's great revelation from the Lord, and we have Dorothy Kraft here with us, who's ministry, mission and ministry in life is to help people discover who they really are in God, who God really made them to be, so that you can live a free life.
That's right.
A life of great joy.
Amen.
So having said that, I told Dorothy during the break, I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of her. Now, some people say, well, she's up there in Martin County or St. Lucie. Where do you live in Martin County?
Martin,
okay.
Okay.
And I'm way down here in Broward. So can she help me from there? And the thing is, she can.
I can.
You can. You can reach her if you're in LinkedIn, right? You can go just type in her name, Dorothy Kraft, K-R-A-F-T.
Correct.
And that's how you'll find her page there, and then
that's
you can contact her through that. LinkedIn, Dorothy Kraft. Your email is, this is a long one, so.
It's a long one.
It's designed for plan and purpose at gmail.com. That's designed for plan and purpose at gmail.com. And then the phone number is 772-341-0306. That's 772-341-0306.
Be honest with you, the best way to get a hold of me is through text.
Text?
Oh, my gosh.
At that number?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're a busy gal, and you've got a lot of maybe not always able to answer the phone.
I know.
You know. But I know there are many people that are thinking, well, gosh, I need to go to the, what's the next stage for me?
Yeah.
Is I'm aware I have an issue.
Yeah.
I don't really know who I am.
Yeah.
And if Dorothy can help me, then I need to get a hold of her. So that's how you can do that.
Well, Dorothy can help you through the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I just want to be clear about that. It is all Holy Spirit. So what I like to do is send out a link and instructions on how to fill out the profile.
Mm-hmm.
It's 60 questions, takes you about 10 minutes. I always ask people to do it in one setting, sit down and just be quiet before the Lord, and answer them according to what your needs and desires are. Not what you think they should be, not what you hope they would be, but as you go through, and the questions seem repetitive, but they're really not. It's really to zero in and zero, get to the root of who you are, how you're hardwired, and then what we do is we'll schedule a time that we either in person or, like you said, if they're not in the local area, we can do a Zoom call or get on Teams or whatever. I love to see people's faces as we interact. I think it's really important. You can see when the light bulb goes off. You can see when they go, not so sure about that. So it just really helps me interact with them as we go through this, because this is a tool or an instrument that I use in life coaching, because I do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling you guys how I've worked with the C-suite, which is usually, you know, like CFOs, CEOs, mm-hmm. presidents of companies. It's really important in that area to make sure from a team perspective, again, knowing who you are, what your strengths, what your weaknesses are, how you can be as effective as you can be in your communication. So we look at it on a professional side. And then on the personal side, we do families, we do couples, we do premarital, we do blended families, we will do children. We can do children all the way down to 5. Mm-hmm. And the reason we kind of cut it off there is they're still just coming into an awareness. Like I have a grandson that's going to be six next month, in less, well, less, almost a month now. And I have seen his development of his temperament. He's an introvert. And I remember one time he was having a really bad day. He was throwing toys. He was pushing his little brother and just, you know, you could just tell he was not doing well. And so I just looked at him and I said, do you want grandma to give you a hug? And he looked at me and he thought, and he goes, you know, no. He goes, I just want to go in my room and get away from everybody. And I thought, good for you, you little introvert, you.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
you're
that.
Like, I don't want to be overwhelmed with my grandma's extrovertedness and love bombing.
Right.
So I'm just going to go in my room and just kind of recalibrate. And I just thought, how brilliant. And I'm very proud of my daughter and son-in-law that really helped their children process their emotions internally, because to me, that's the most amazing gift you can give to children. But even in his little development, like I said, the instrument itself goes all the way down to around five. And so we can start to really understand and help people in those relationships and start to really understand who you are. So first step is filling out the instrument, the assessment, then me going through it with you. And then I make myself available if you ever want to drill down more or if you have questions. Again, like I said, in my personal relationships with my friends who have, I've had them go through the assessment and we've gone through it, they find it very beneficial that as they go through certain situations or circumstances, that there's an awareness level that comes and they're like, oh, that's my temperament. Yeah, that's why you're making that decision or why you're processing it that way or why you're viewing it that way.
Very important. Yes, it. I just can't say enough about having gone through. And I was sharing in the years that I was pastoring in churches and working with people pastorally, issues of counseling, spiritual counseling, marital counseling. I used Myers-Briggs Personality Type Inventory. At that time, it was the best tool available to me. And I would even send it off to be, and then I'd get the results back and share them with the people I was working with. But this is far and away a much better tool for the digging down deep into who you are.
Yeah, I've done all those other things too. And Dr. Worley, who actually is the one that created the WIDP profile, he was trained in all of that, and he just felt that there was still something to be desired in those. We're not saying that they're not effective. We're not saying that they're not good. We're just saying that we believe that this is more effective. That's all.
Well, I, personally, having gone through that, I'd have to agree it is.
Appreciate that.
So I actually continued to forget to invite people to call. So I don't know if we have time for one call. If somebody wants to ask Dorothy a question, 772-221-1100 is the number, 772-221-1100. And we will be able to take at least one call in the next 5 minutes. But, yeah, I'm excited about this. I don't, as I said, I don't think a lot of people are doing it, but I think a lot of people need to have the experience of making the discovery.
It's a tool in your toolbox. If you're wanting to grow as a person, if you're wanting to become as effective as you can be, you want all that God has for you, if you need healing in your life, all of those, to me, it's just, it's a tool in your tool belt that you can bring out and use for any aspect of your life. For me, it's been life-changing. It's literally allows me to freely move through different situations, circumstances, and relationships. And I feel like it helps you put God first and those other people first, which ties back into what's the two greatest commands. And everything, the law and the prophets, hang on that. So
yes,
literally everything hangs on how do I interact with God and how do I interact with others.
Amen. Which is pretty much human life.
Yep.
And
can't get away from people.
No, you can't. Nor should we. We're made to be gregarious.
And even if you get away from people, you can be in the middle of the ocean. I love that the scripture that says, even your hand is there. You can be in the middle of the ocean and God still be there.
Amen.
So.
Absolutely.
And of course, when you go somewhere, you take yourself with you. And if you don't know who you are, it doesn't matter if you've escaped populations and you're out there all alone in the middle of the ocean or whatever, you, but you still will be uncomfortable if you don't know who you really are.
Yeah, when you think about it, you go through your day, you're not, it's not being filtered then by what your perceptions are of others or what you're thinking, oh, well, that person looked at me weird or that person this or that person that. You know, you're not being, you're not going through your day always thinking that you're being rejected or that you're being not respected or just, you know, just ignored. All of that, ignored or whatever. Right. It kind of takes all that away because you're just like, oh, I'm an extrovert. I just think that every human being that I meet is just a friend I haven't met yet. And exactly. So you can overwhelm some certain people and then you'd be offended when they're like, they didn't seem like they wanted to talk to me. And you're like, now then you just realize I'm an extreme extrovert. Oh, I remember one of my closest friends, this happened to me in church, and I had something really crazy and wonderful that just had happened to me. And I went running up to her right before service. And I was like, I wanted to like just share it with her. And she looked at me and she's like, I need to be focused on what's going to be happening. Mm-hmm. Can we talk later? Well, if I didn't know her to be an introvert or that she was in task mode because she was given a responsibility in that service, so her focus was on God and on what her responsibility was in that moment, I could have walked away offended because I had a need to tell my friend and my friend wasn't being my friend in that moment. And how dare she not be my friend in that moment? And then, you know, then that could have created a division in our without her even knowing it or me even knowing it.
Yeah.
But I knew exactly what she was doing and I respected her for it. And I knew that that was a boundary that she had that I shouldn't have crossed or didn't need to cross or needed to be offended because she had that boundary. Yeah. So what did I do? I went and found another extrovert and then just told my whole story. And then after the service, she said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be rude. I was like, I know you, girl. I was like, I am not offended at all. I'm like, you were doing exactly what you should have been doing. And I was being exactly who I am. So there was no harm, no foul. And that's where we talk about the beauty of understanding you and starting to understand others. Because in that moment, that could have created a really big divide in our relationship. And the enemy would have won because her and I worked together a lot. So,
but you understood enough to overcome your self-centeredness. And that could be open up a whole new vista on this discussion is people with self-centeredness.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's a whole
I don't know if I actually got over my self-centeredness part of it, but because I still like found somebody else.
Let's say
no, I got to see it for what it was. I saw it for what it was.
You're aware of it.
I have a need as an extrovert to be excitable, to tell my stories, all of that stuff. And in that moment, it was not appropriate. And so I needed to know that about myself. So I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. I'm just giving you a hard time there.
Time is running out, but before we end, again, how you can reach Dorothy, because now some of you are saying, well, I really got to talk to her, get something started. Well, if you go on LinkedIn, if you're a member of LinkedIn, it's just type in her name, Dorothy Kraft, K-R-A-F-T. You can email her at, again, it's the long address, design.
Dave, are you trying to tell me that I shouldn't have that?
No.
I'm offended. Wait a minute. No, I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
I shortened it down to initials.
Well, not that I would have put a long name like this, but that's me.
Hey, I'm an extrovert.
I know.
Hello?
Well, here it is. Designed for plan and purpose at gmail.com. And then the phone number, 772-341-0306.
Yeah.
And if all else fails, if you're driving and you say, I can't write it down, but I got to know, you can call the radio station, 772-221-1100, and somebody will track me down, and I can give you that information.
I appreciate that.
Dorothy, thank you again for being with us. I'm sure you'll be back at some point.
I hope so.
Because this is a never-ending concern for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But God bless you in your ministry to see it grow and develop. And
you guys as well. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of fun.
We love it.
It's a lot of fun.
I can see.
Talk to you next week.
God bless.
We take another fascinating trip to the front line.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space.